Mr. Cameron's trip to Washington is covered in oil.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. British Prime Minister David Cameron has arrived in the U.S. for his first official meeting with President Obama. But not surprisingly, BP and the Gulf of Mexico oil gusher are likely to overshadow his visit. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The Prime Minister and the President will talk about BP and the Gulf. They'll also tackle an alleged link between oil and terrorism, the early release of the Lockerbie bomber. Abdelbaset al-Megrahi was convicted of planning the 1988 bombing of an aircraft which killed 270 people. A group of US senators wants to know if BP played a role in his release. The claim is the company lobbied on the bomber's behalf and then gained oil contracts from Libya. Prime Minister Cameron is distancing himself from that release. He was not in office at the time and says he opposed it.
He was convicted of being the biggest mass murderer in British history. I saw no case whatsoever for releasing him from prison, and I said that a year ago.
President Obama and the Prime Minister may agree over that issue. There may not be much of a meeting of minds over the economy, however. Unlike the US, Britain is embarking on a series of huge cuts in public spending to bring down its budget deficit. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, over in Ireland, big cuts in the budget there were a shining example of how to get a financial house back in order. But it seems as though those Irish fiscal measures are shaking up its financial house. The BBC's Rebecca Singer has that.
Ireland sold $2 billion worth of government debt today to fund its country's budget. But it was more expensive after Moody's cut Ireland's credit rating yesterday. One concern is that massive spending cuts have put too strong a brake on the recovery. Fintan O'Toole of the Irish Times says the country hasn't been rewarded for its drastic action.
The markets, in their wisdom, don't really believe that the medicine that Ireland is taking, which is the very medicine that they themselves tend to prescribe, is going to make the patient better.
But the Irish government disagrees. Dara Cailleary is Minister of State at the Department of Finance.
The European Commission, the OECD, have recognised that the way we are pursuing these policies is the correct way to do it.
But O'Toole with the Irish Times says there's a lesson here for other countries.
Expecting that somehow if you go into a masochistic frenzy and punish yourself, that the international markets are going to say, well, they're really good people, so everything's going to be fine. It just doesn't work like that.
The Irish Cabinet meet this week to work on next year's budget. They say even further cuts are required. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares right now are lower by about 0.5% to 1%. Asian shares closed mostly higher today, except for the Nikkei, which was down 1%. Wall Street yesterday, the tech-heavy NASDAQ again saw the biggest gains, nearly 1%. S&P and blue chips were up 0.5%. The Dow added 56 points to close at 10,154. IBM stock could be in a rough go of it today. Big Blue reported some mixed earnings after the bell Monday. The company raised its 2010 net income guidance, but revenues missed analysts' marks. And IBM stock has fallen more than 4% in pre-market trading. We just got word just a moment ago that earnings from Whirlpool, the appliance maker, beat quarterly profits and sales estimates and raised its outlook for the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
Governor Charlie Crist kicks off a special session of the Florida legislature today. Lawmakers there are considering a constitutional amendment to ban drilling in state waters. Meanwhile, Kenneth Feinberg, the man overseeing BP's $20 billion compensation fund, is preparing rules on what makes claims legitimate. As reporter Jay Field tells us from Pensacola, Feinberg has some tough decisions to make.
Florida officials are studying the economic fallout from the spill, and late last month, Darrell Willis, the BP guy in the orange polo shirt who's on TV a lot, showed up to answer their questions. Mostly, though, he got a lecture.
We're very fortunate that we do not have oil on our beaches. Where we are not fortunate, as you know, is the media and the negativity.
Commissioner Mario De Janeiro pulled out an informal survey of more than 200 hotels and other businesses in the Florida Keys. He says bookings are way down. So do these businesses, hurt by perception more than reality, have a right to some of that BP cash? Florida law, Kenneth Feinberg recently told a congressional committee, is clear.
If there's no physical damage to the beaches, and it's public perception, I venture to say that it is not compensable.
But Feinberg himself mentioned one possible solution in recent House testimony: cordon off a geographic area and compensate businesses there that say perception has damaged them. Feinberg, who oversaw the 9/11 fund, used a similar approach to pay victims for respiratory damage from the collapsing towers. But torts expert Marshall Schapo at Northwestern University Law School says the 9/11 model may not work.
Here you have a much more, I guess you could even literally say, fluid environment from a legal point of view, because you're talking about so many different categories of people, and it's not nearly as neatly defined as it was in the 9/11.
What about the restaurant 50 miles inland that says business is off because people won't order Gulf seafood, or the caterer that has less convention business than usual in Tampa Bay? Feinberg says the money is limited, and he's going to have to draw the line someplace. In Pensacola, Florida, I'm Jay Field for Marketplace.
And finally, David Arik lost his job as a Wall Street lawyer at the height of the financial crisis in 2008. After months of trying to find another job, he decided it was time to do something else, a new cupcake bakery that caters to men. Arik says the Butch Bakery, that's what it's called, avoids the standard cupcake fare that he says are too frilly. His cupcakes are macho, flavored like manly things. There's the Elvis with peanut butter, banana, and crushed bacon. One of his manly cakes has whiskey in it. There's even a cupcake that features beer. Arik says business has taken off, but oddly, he says most of his customers are women. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Catch us online at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.